We're talking now with Fritz Moore. He's a candidate for Sandpoint City Council. Fritz, thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start out with the same question I'm asking all the candidates. Tell us about yourself. Introduce yourself to the voters. Tell a bit about your background, how long you've been in Sandpoint, any family or community ties you want to mention.
Well, a family tie would be my son was just born here, so that's a big one for me, seven months ago. A bit of my background, let's see, we'll make it quick. I was raised in Phoenix, Arizona. I have lived and worked in Hollywood on some major production. I have run my own business teaching yoga and meditation out of Seattle. I've run my own theater company in Seattle. So my background is primarily in the entertainment world, and then I moved into yoga and meditation, which is where I sort of got my founding, my deepest founding in my spiritual sense. So I've done so many different aspects of production, from producer to director to writer to design. I've run teams, I've grant written. I know pretty much all aspects of the business. Most of my youth was spent working for my father, who was a real estate appraiser in Arizona. So I've got a pretty decent background and understanding of the metrics of the real estate market as well. So I've been in Sandpoint for 18 months after traveling the country for 2 years with my wife and my older son, who's now four. We were looking for a home because Seattle had become a bit of a place we didn't want to be anymore. So we left in 2018. We traveled for the better part of 2 years, and by divine providence, we're brought across that glorious bridge to Sandpoint, and knew as soon as we were here that this was the place to be.
The famous Long Bridge experience.
Yeah, and you hear it from so many.
Are there any elected positions you've held or any community nonprofit organizations that you volunteered for?
Most of the nonprofit work I've done is through my theater organizations, so that's been my greatest experience in that regard. But not a stranger to nonprofit. This is the first time I've ever decided to run for elective office, but, you know, I was encouraged deeply by many residents in town who know me, who believe that I would be right for the position. And so I have to admit, truthfully, that at first I was a little reluctant, so I always ask myself the questions. Does this need to be done? Am I the one who needs to do it? And if so, does it need to be done right now? And so I really sat on that, and as I always do, I sort of meditate and commune with my higher power. And as the messages from God will come through the collective as they do, as you hear an utterance here or a directive there, again, divine providence sort of helped me make the decision. You know, I rest the power in my higher power, but I take the right action, and the right action went so incredibly smoothly and has ever since that it's encouraging and encourages me to believe that I'm doing the right thing.
Here's a question I'm asking all the candidates. You're running for city council. How many Sandpoint City Council meetings have you attended in the past couple of years?
Well, you know, I haven't been here a long time, so truthfully, I've been hitting as many meetings in general as possible to get an overview of the entire situation. So just a couple of county meeting or city meetings so far this year, and more, you know, closer to this time where they were passing the resolution to put the tax on and whatnot. So maybe they haven't seen my face in there enough, but they will be.
Okay. Well, what are the biggest issues you identify for Sandpoint, and where do you stand on them?
Well, I think one of the biggest issues on people's minds, quite frankly, is bodily autonomy and integrity. So health freedom is a big issue for me, and one that I've addressed quite clearly on my website as a critical issue number one. And that's a long, deep rabbit hole, so we won't go into that too deeply, but beyond that, I think that two major infrastructure issues are at hand. One being the waste management and water management in the city that is derelict and well beyond its capacity and seemingly kicking the can continually down the road. In fact, the last estimate I heard to begin on anything in regards to that would not be until 2024. So in my estimation, that's waiting too long to address real issues. Because the problem is if you're looking at growth the way they're expecting, which is, you know, essentially suggesting 75% high density housing within the city, well, when you have a foundation that cannot support that kind of growth, then you're making bad decisions. You don't build a house on a faulty foundation. So I have a strong urge to start pushing the direction of creating a stronger foundational platform that we can then build in an intelligent way that will create an environment of innovation and economic growth across the board. I think another issue that we're dealing with is that we're completely focused on being a service economy. And anywhere you look in the country, as I've driven through all of it and stayed in so much of these places, a service economy will eventually fail the community because it's not enough to sustain it. So creating some sort of innovative society that allows us to build an economic wherewithal that will last into the future through a diversification of what we provide here and what we service our human capital with is going to be paramount.
So what are your ideas to take on that problem?
Well, we have to start providing innovative solutions. You know, one simple way to do that would be to provide, say, something like a tech school or a specified learning institution for welding or carpentry or you know, you name it. But we need to start providing opportunities for the people that live here other than, hey, go get a job as a waiter, right? Or go get a job in a retail shop, because that's not going to sustain anybody. And as we can see from the economy, both of those types of positions are not going to be sustainable in the long term as far as providing for a family or having any longevity in career growth. So we need to start providing people with an opportunity locally that will allow them to have an economic opportunity in the long term.
Okay. Any other issues you want to list at top of your list?
You know, again, I think the housing crisis, you know, it's such a big topic, and I have been picking multiple people's brains on this, and I don't think the comprehensive plan is working effectively, so I think that that has to be addressed immediately, and I know I'm not the only candidate speaking about that. I am suggesting, though, that we possibly take a pause and recognize what's really happening in the city. And if you look at the metrics, you know, 51 to 53% of residents in the city already own. So they're already a beneficiary of the escalation in value. I'm having a little bit of difficulty getting straightforward answers as to what exactly we're trying to supply here and for whom. There's a lot of catchphrases being thrown around, a lot of technical terms being thrown around, but that seems more like a tap dance to me when you really look at the essence of it. What's being suggested is not fulfilling the promise. So I think that's a big issue, and it's one that really needs to be addressed because it is at the forefront of everyone's mind.
Well, there again, that's a tough one.
It is.
Because it is. We have a free market in action here.
We also have crony capitalism. So
do you think crony capitalism...
In a free market system where you have crony capitalism, that's not a free market system, right? That's I'm going to sit down with my buddies and decide for you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I do believe there's crony capitalism. It's not just indicative into this city. It's everywhere. It's a systemic problem in the entire country. When you have the majority of major contracts that are going to outside forces, you're not creating an economic wherewithal for city dwellers. You're not providing opportunity, and you're certainly not providing any employment opportunities, right? Because all of those funds are now going outside the city to bring in these people to do the work so that a very few can enjoy the amenity while the others pay for it. That's not an appropriate approach, in my opinion.
So we'll turn to some other issues here. There will be a ballot question for city residents to vote on, asking if they will approve a 1% local option sales tax on purchases made in the city with the money earmarked for parks and sidewalks. Do you favor or oppose the local option tax?
Well, I'll say this. I am absolute favor of providing those kinds of services to the community. The parks, sidewalks, absolutely. Those are important issues to address. Are they supplanting the real needs with beautification needs and issues where we're, again, not addressing the foundational issues? So, you know, taxing people, the biggest problem is too, and I'll say this, we can't complete any of those projects without federal welfare. So if we want to stop being a federal welfare state and a federal welfare city, then we're going to have to learn to or build something better, as Buckminster Fuller would put it, right? We need to build a better system that's going to make the old system obsolete. Right now, we're a welfare city. So if we're constantly looking for contracts to be able to complete these projects, and we have to dip into the pocket of the people over here, and then the feds are going to dip into the pocket of the other pocket so that they can raise the amount of infrastructure funds that they then want to support local cities with, those are also going to come with caveats and conditions based on those federal grants. I'm not necessarily in favor of that. I'm not in favor of welfare for anyone. I've never taken welfare. I have never had a desire to take in welfare. Even when I've been down and out, I still look at pulling myself up. But you know, it's funny, Chris, you know, I come from a liberal world, but you know, I grew up with conservative parents. So I stand in kind of the middle with a recognition of both sides. I understand the wants and needs. But, you know, federal taxes, they're talking about raising taxes on people upwards of $10,000 to $12,000 a year. So when we got the city dipping into their pockets on this side and we got the feds dipping in over here, who's the beneficiary? Because it's certainly not the taxpayer, not in the long run. And again, you're dealing with systems like crony capitalism. It's not necessarily a free market system. We're not addressing the real issues.
Okay, so we have a few minutes left here. Generally speaking, do you think the city council and the mayor have been taking the city in the right direction? Or would you want to do things differently if you get on the council?
I think there are aspects that have moved in the right direction. I'll tell you, I haven't met Shelby up until Friday when I went to his round table. And just as I didn't speak, I just listened.
Shelby, the mayor.
Yes, the mayor. I just listened. I just listened to the conversation happening. And I have to say, I hear this too often. And I think this is where people are frustrated. People show up and they say, I don't feel like I'm being heard. And then they're told, you're being heard. Be quiet. Let me tell you. Well, as an individual, how do you feel when you approach somebody and say, you know, you're not hearing me, and they don't hear you? So I listened to the mayor speak about all of these issues, and I'll have to tell you that based on that meeting, I still have no idea where this position is and what the solution is. He talked a lot. He spoke a lot in that meeting, and I still don't have a clear understanding of what his solution is and where we're going. So I think there needs to be a greater... there needs to be a greater amount of transparency and a willingness to really have an open dialogue. I'm not seeing that. I think that the city, the mayor, the city council, if there's workshops, if there's all these things going on, they need to be posted on the city website, not on social media, because not everybody's on there. You know, not everybody's going to know. They need to be done in a timely fashion so that people can get involved, not just throw it out there and expect people to show up, you know. People are working two and three jobs right now just trying to survive. And, you know, you've got 7% that are holding most of the value, right? And you got the rest of the people out there busting their butt to try to keep themselves and their families fed and housed and warm and clothed and all the other necessities of life. So I think that one of my key issues is that if we're going to build trust in the community, we need to build the transparency. There's not enough transparency and there's not enough initiative to allow that kind of what's the right word, that interpersonal connection between the people who are elected to represent us and the will of the people.
Okay, well, that kind of segues into another question here. Things in the country and even locally are badly politically polarized.
They are.
How would you seek as a council person to represent the whole of the population, even those who may not have voted for you or hold opposing opinions?
A willingness to listen. See, for me, the difference between a man and a mature man, because I am a man, is can you entertain somebody else's idea without feeling obligated to agree? That's basically where we're at. The division is so strong because the ideologue in the individual has become so strong. We're not listening to each other. We're not actually listening to each other. We're just talking at each other. And I have to say, you know, there's several people supporting my campaign. They're out there, you know, talking with people. And I kind of had a moment in one of our meetings about 2 weeks ago where I had to slap the desk because they're demanding to go out there and talk at people. And I said, no, you need to talk with people. You're not communicating with people. You need to find out what they need and what they want. When people feel received by somebody else, that's when they start to open up more. That's when they start to feel safe. And the more you receive them and the more you hear them and you have a willingness to have that kind of exchange, the more they're going to have trust for you. I'm not proposing in any way that I have all the answers, but I do have an intelligence and I do have a wisdom and I do have a willingness, an absolute willingness to listen and to actually understand your point of view. I don't necessarily always have to agree, but there's always going to be something in there, right? Some sort of connective tissue that will allow us to bridge the gap and that division between all of us. Because the truth is, the only division that exists is the ones that we create for ourselves.
Well, we have 1 minute of spare time here if you want to bring anything else up. I do want to ask you, how do people get in touch with you? They want to find out more about your campaign.
Sure. FritzMoreForSandpoint.com. And, you know, just have to do it because my name's spelled a little bit differently. So it's FritzMore, and then spelled out FritzMoreSandpoint.com. Mm-hmm. FritzMoreForSandpoint.com. You can email me there, contact me. And everybody who's contacted me, I have reached out to personally.
Well, Fritz Moore, candidate for Sandpoint City Council, thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you.